This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We have Brandon Darby coming up a half hour from now. Why Brandon Darby? The cartels aren't in the news. That's why Brandon Darby. I want to know what's been happening ever since we took out El Mencho. I want to know what's been happening in Italy. Not that I care about Italians. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he once told me that their organized crime groups are bigger than the Mexican cartels. That's bonkers to me. I want to know if that's still the case. Anyway, Brandon Darby's coming up a half hour from now. I'm going to get to emails, but I think I have to correct myself on something I've been saying. Gavin Newsom's wife, she's been out there sounding like a crazy person, because she is one. Just a complete communist lizard person talking about giving her sons dolls to play with and all kinds of things like that. And I thought to myself, and I've said to you on the show, this is a really dumb election strategy. Gavin Newsom's trying to make himself seem sane and normal, which he's not, but he's trying to make himself seem that way. Then his wife is out there ruining all of his efforts. You know, he's, hey, I love guns. You can call me Normie Normalson. And then his wife comes out, I give my son Barbies. And I thought, this woman's an idiot. He's trying to build a coalition that can win the presidency. His wife's ruining it. But then I heard her say something. And I realized maybe she's sly like a fox. Listen to this.
I mean, I had to be very raw when we interviewed the young men who were juvenile offenders in San Quentin. I told them about my own loss, where I lost my older sister a few days before my 7th birthday, and I blamed myself for her death. And I share that because that they ultimately were accused of committing these violent crimes and sentenced for life. And I think it shocked them that this, you know, blonde lady who was, you know, the interviewing them had a similar story, was perhaps in the wrong place at the wrong time, but wasn't punished the way they were, because clearly it was an accident, but theirs was probably an accident too.
I know you think that makes her sound crazy, but there's more to the story. Why does she blame herself for her sister's death? Because apparently she ran over her sister with a golf cart. Now, tell me this isn't brilliant. What better way to get a higher percentage of the woman vote than by saying, you've also driven over somebody. What, Chris? Why are you making this face? This is an effort at relating to women. Every single woman listening to this show has either driven over somebody or slammed into somebody or backed into something, even if it's the garbage cans or the garage door. Every single woman listening right now can relate to Gavin Newsom's wife mowing down her own sister. Oh, what, Chris? What? This is, look, Chris, what have I told you about politics? There's no ability like relatability, okay? Gavin Newsom's wife just locked down the woman vote for him. Telling you, crazy like a fox. Hey, Jesse, I think one thing so many people on the right are missing about Iran is when they say they want a president to focus domestically, which I fully understand and agree with, is that he is completely tied up domestically by Congress, both Democrats and the loser rhinos. He doesn't need their input for international affairs. I, too, would like more focus here at home, but it seems like he's signed the executive orders he can. The only thing I think within his power is that he's not doing more aggressively deporting people, even though it's still happening, just not fast enough. Am I completely off with this take? His name is Chris. No, not completely off. I need to explain. Donald Trump has done and is doing really good things domestically. He is. He is deregulating our economy. No one talks about it because that's so boring, isn't it? You can't laugh or cry about it with your friends on a Friday night, but regulations strangle an economy. They make your life worse, make your life more expensive. Donald Trump is a deregulator. He is the deregulating commander-in-chief. He loves it. Who did I talk to? Shoot, I forget what his name was. I talked to somebody who was in the Trump administration, and he told me that Donald Trump had given him a rule. You have to eliminate 10 regulations before you can put one in. That's awesome. He is deporting people as fast as you would like or I would like. No, but he is. He is doing it at a faster pace than any president in my entire life by a mile. That's awesome. He is doing good things domestically. He is. People with knowledge like you, like me, we know that. Part of the problem with focusing on foreign matters. It's not just what you're doing or not doing. It's right. It's wrong. I love it. I hate it. It's not necessarily that. It's that every time you hear Donald Trump speak now, every single time you hear him speak, this is the stuff he's saying.
All I want to see is I want to have a safe world, and you're not going to have a safe world. Israel will be gone. The Middle East will be gone. And then they're coming for Europe.
Okay. Now, we're going to set you aside. Set you aside. Because you're informed. You're not important for the purposes of our conversation here. You just had to take a second job. Because you're having a hard time covering the health insurance. You've completely given up dreams on being able to afford college for your kid. They're going to have to take out another loan. Your wife was starting to look at going back to work part-time. She just got home from the grocery store in tears because she can't afford everything anymore. You turn on the television. This is what
all I want to see is I want to have a safe world, and you're not going to have a safe world. Israel will be gone. The Middle East will be gone. And then they're coming for Europe.
Now, he's working for that family. He's trying to make life more affordable. He is. But they don't see it. When they turn on the news, every single Trump statement now, every press conference, every single thing, it's this
stuff.
They're
very good bullshit artists. That's why for 47 years they've been bullshitting other presidents and they haven't done the job. And people are living in hell. You live in that country, they're living in hell. No, I think that 47.
You have two maxed out credit cards. The interest is killing you. You turn on the news and you hear this.
All I want to see is I want to have a safe world, and you're not going to have a safe world. Israel will be gone. The Middle East will be gone. And then they're coming for Europe.
It's not that the war in Iran specifically is the worst thing in the world or the best thing in the world. I obviously expressed my thoughts on it, my skepticism and all that, but it's not about that specifically. People will say to you, but it's separate. The economy's separate from what we're doing. And that is, of course, correct. But in the minds of the swing voter, those things are linked. If you are talking about them, you're not talking about me. If you're talking about that, you're not talking about me. I need to know that you, Mr. President, are working day and night for me. And this is where you would get, you know, hardcore Trump people. Maybe you're typing your angry email as you speak, but he is. I know that. You're talking to the wrong guy. Swing voter doesn't. Do I need to bring up the poll again? The polls again? The last one I read you was 66% of the electorate wants Donald Trump to focus more domestically. But he's working domestically. Yeah. But when they turn on the news, this is all they hear.
All I want to see is I want to have a safe world. And you're not going to have a safe world. Israel will be gone. The Middle East will be gone. And then they're coming for Europe.
Europe? What am I don't care about Europe. I'm about to have my car repossessed. My son just got home, graduated college, did everything right. He's got $80,000 in college loan debt. He can't even get a call back for a job from an American company. I don't want to hear about the Middle East.
All I want to see is I want to have a safe world, and you're not going to have a safe world. Israel will be gone. The Middle East will be gone.
Israel? What about me? That's what swing voters are saying. That's what swing voter is screaming. And we are going to feel it. Let's hope things go right. We'll do some more emails. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threat. So I want to piggyback on something I was just talking about. Because Americans are strained right now, the economy sucks, all these things. The fraud efforts, the anti-fraud efforts by the Trump administration are outstanding. I'll play it again. This is Todd Blanche. He's the acting attorney general right now.
And so today I'm proud to announce in greater detail the creation of the National Fraud Enforcement Division. Its core mission will be to zealously investigate and prosecute those who steal taxpayer dollars and rip off the American people. We are going to staff this division by some of the department's best prosecutors. Every U.S. Attorney's office across the country will also be joining this re-energized fight against fraud. This means in pure numbers that there will be an additional 93 prosecutors in every district across the country devoted to the mission of combating fraud with the National Fraud Enforcement Division.
That is not only the right thing to do to stop the Democrat criminals from looting the taxpayer, it's not only the right thing to do. What a political winner that is, and a political winner for the same guy or gal I was just talking about, and maybe this is you. My credit cards are maxed out. I can't afford life. Oh, good. The president's getting the people who are stealing from me. I had to take a second job. I can't afford this. My kid's out of work. Good. The president is getting the people who are stealing from me. It's the right thing to do, and it is politically brilliant. Brilliant. And all the news is about Iran. We're doing very good things. The Trump administration is doing very, very good things domestically. But all we're talking about is Iran. Jesse, why can't we just eliminate the threat that is keeping the Strait of Hormuz closed? Well, I explained that a little bit earlier. That's easier said than done if the threat is coming from those mountains. It's just easier said than done. Because our military is so great, we get under the impression that we can basically just locate anything, anytime, anywhere, and we have some special super bomb, super advanced, that can get in there and just wipe anything out. After all, we flew bombers from Iowa and dropped bombs down ventilation shafts in Iran. Surely we could. There are things you can't get to. There are things you don't even know about. It's easier said than done. Hey, Jesse, how can NATO mean anything when Spain and France refuse to help the U.S. with their airfields and don't even pay their fair share? Well, NATO. Let's talk about this again. Alliances change over time. If you look back in history and you see how often alliances change and then bring that home here, I think it helps give us all some perspective. You know, France will align with England for 100 years, and they're fighting against Spain. And then you turn the book a couple pages, and England and Spain are they've formed an alliance, and they're fighting against France. And what? Nations change. The leadership of nations change. The people of countries change. And with those changes, alliances change. Europe is probably gone. Not each and every country, because there are countries in Europe like Poland, Croatia, these types of countries that did not open up their borders to every Muslim refugee on the planet. But as a whole, Europe's not going to be our friend very much longer, if you even think they still are. The values have changed. The leadership is different. Remember, as much as you and I get frustrated about the communist revolution here in the United States of America and the things Democrats are doing here, you know, well, I'll put it to you this way. 4 years of Joe Biden is bad, right? I want you to picture Joe Biden for about, eight terms. That's where Europe is. Europe, I talked to my friends in the UK, and if you're in the UK right now listening, I'm sorry, I know it's hard to hear, but I talked to my friends in the UK, and they'll just tell me flat out to my face, oh, it's over. Without something like a civil war, which is the worst thing in the world, without something like a civil war, the hope is gone. Europe is gone. That's bad. It's really friggin' bad. But that's where we are. They just had a demonstration, I believe it was in Rome, a big, angry demonstration. The Romans, the Italians, were very, very angry because one of the Africans they let into their country grabbed some lady's cat and assaulted it. I'll put it that way. I believe the cat survived, barely, but... you're bringing in people that do that to cats? How long are you going to remain an ally with the government that brings those people into its country on purpose? There's always going to be a time limit to those kind of alliances. And this whole NATO business, it's just bringing it home. That's all. All right. Isn't it the worst freaking thing in the world? Insuring your business. I mean, these insurance companies, you have to deal with like five of them. Oh, I need this policy for this, and then this application, but I need a different policy for that. And how many insurance guys do you have? How many do you have? It's more than one, isn't it? It's four or five. It's a freaking nightmare. Oh, and by the way, you don't even know what coverage you have. Are you underinsured? You might be. Are you overinsured, paying for crap you don't even need? You might be. Stop dealing with all these different people and all this complicated freaking headache. You have a business to run. SuperSure is here, so you need one person. That's it, one person. SuperSure, they'll tell you if you're overinsured, underinsured, somewhere in between. One agency will handle all of this for you. They'll find it. They'll fix it. They are one agency. You go to supersure.com, they'll even get you a full report on your current policies with no obligation. No obligation. They'll tell you, this is what you got. One super agency, one powerful platform, all your policies in one place. Supersure.com. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, again, I hate to beat a dead horse here, but I don't want to distract from things going on thousands of miles away. I am a bit concerned about what's happening down in old Mexico, so I figured it'd probably be a good idea to bring on Brandon Darby, who always educates us on these things. Breitbart, Cartel Chronicles, Brandon Darby joins us now. Brandon, what's happening in an El Mencho-less Mexico?
Well, what's happening is various groups within El Mencho's Cartel Jalisco are trying to cooperate together, and others are trying to take territory. And, you know, this is what happens every time we pursue these kingpin strategies against cartel bosses. They do work. There's a temporary uptick in violence. And then ultimately their centralized power is challenged and weakened. And so pretty amazing stuff. You know, we're still in a place where Mexico's president is claiming she doesn't really want to work with the U.S. on cartels. But I think that they are working, or groups within our government are working with the U.S. on cartels. And I think that the U.S. is in a place where they'll act independently if they have to, which is why they got El Mencho in the first place.
Brandon, really stupid question, but I am curious. What are they trafficking in now? What is the thing? Is it heroin? Is fentanyl? Is it on the outs now? What are they trafficking in?
Well, it depends who we're talking about. So overall, we had been in a situation where it was, you know, largely methamphetamine, fentanyl, groups who were along the Texas border were primarily trafficking in people. The people who were showing up requesting asylum, that was the primary business model for different groups within the Gulf Cartel and Los Zetas. And now that those groups are not making money from migrants, because migrants are not generally coming at this point because of Trump administration policies. So those groups have gone back to trafficking in fentanyl and methamphetamine.
Okay. Fentanyl. I know this is something that Donald Trump has been hot on, talking about precursors from China, talking about cracking down. Is that business hurting? Is the street value going up?
The business is hurting, yeah. They're with all drugs coming into the U.S., all illicit drugs, they're having a much harder time getting things here.
Okay.
That much more difficult time.
Okay, that brings me further south. In power vacuums like the one you're describing, and Mexico is having to take these people out, I am curious, have we seen any kind of a resurgence of the South American cartels, Colombia, places like that?
Well, there never really was a dip in them per se. What happened was they were operating in the U.S., getting drugs to the U.S. from Colombia, from South America, and we started, you know, to crack down on them hard. And then what they did was they said, okay, when we're at the U.S.'s face, this is not working out very well for us, so let's do something different. So what they did was they started just supplying Mexican transnational criminal organizations, and those Mexican organizations then became the one trafficking into the U.S. That's what happened. So the Colombians continued to manufacture the cocaine. They just took less profit, but took a lot less risk and a lot less loss, and just started supplying Mexico. And then Mexico was the one who was in the U.S. face, kind of the front person for the entire operation. But they never really went away. Like, the cocaine that's grown in Colombia is still grown in Colombia. The coca that's grown in Bolivia is still grown in Bolivia. You know, it's not like it's ever really stopped per se.
Okay, then are we doing something down there? I know Trump is hot on Mexico. Is that where his focus lies? Are we doing something? Can we do anything? I know we don't get along with Colombia's government. Are we doing anything or trying to down there?
Yeah, so what we're doing down there is a lot of covert stuff, some of which makes it into the sees the day of light, so we learn about, especially with what's going on in Ecuador right now. That government is working with the U.S., and we have troops going out with their troops and eradicating fields and going after drug lords.
Do we... These countries that rely, like Mexico, like Colombia, like Ecuador... These countries that rely at least somewhat on money from the drug trade, does America compensate these countries in some way?
Compensate. What we do is, like, we have the INL. We have different programs where we give them money to combat drug traffickers. We give them money to combat transnational criminal organizations. So I think some people do get compensated, but I don't think that we're, directly giving them business deals for it. I think that that does happen, but I don't think it happens under the, overtly as such, right? But yes, if a country is playing ball with us and making our lives easier, they get all types of preferential treatments. It comes up in trade deals. It comes up with tariffs or no tariffs in countries who make it difficult for us. And who are making their money by poisoning Americans, they get penalized. But it's not as direct as that.
You once told me, actually on the show, again, we're speaking with Cartel Chronicles' Brandon Darby. You once told me on this show that the Mexican cartels, they seem so big to us, but they're probably smaller than Italy and Russian organized crime. If I remember right, that's what you said. And is that
right.
The case?
I think it is, yeah. I think that there are Italian organized crime groups and there are also Russian organized crime groups that I think have way more power outside of their host nation. I think that, if we lived in New York or we lived in Seattle I think that we would not be as focused on Mexican cartels as we were on Russian organized crime. Or Italian organized crime. I think if we were most of Western Europe, Asia, North Africa, I think we would be talking about Italian organized crime. So it's, there are groups within Italy who have much larger, more people, much more powerful than Mexican cartels, for sure. I think that Cartel Jalisco was a rare exception. I think that they, their prowess really, was really growing globally. But I think that as far as every other Mexican cartel, I think that that holds true.
Okay. Can you explain why are the Mexicans dumber? Or is it just it's a newer cartel? I know Italy's obviously been doing that since the Italians came. But what is it? Why?
Oh, there's a number of reasons for it. One is they don't really have to. I mean, if you're a Mexico-based transnational criminal organization, you can make plenty of money just by operating in the United States. If you are a Russian organization, there's no economy within Western Europe or Eastern Europe or North Africa that comes anywhere close with our economy and our level of expendable dollars. Kind of the same reason, I dated a Dutch girl, and this Dutch woman spoke like multiple different languages fluently, and she was into European Business Administration. And I remember I was so impressed with the fact that all of these Dutch people spoke all these languages. And then I realized, well, they kind of have to, right? In order to grow and to have a profitable business model, they have to speak a bunch of languages because there's a bunch of languages around them and there's no one country around them that they can do business in and survive. Well, if the country you're dealing with is the United States, you can make plenty of money from the United States and you really don't need to have a major global footprint in order to make a living.
That's That's fascinating and depressing at the same time. Brandon Darby, as always, my man, thank you so much. Adios to you. Chris, you see what I did there? Don't shake your head. You think that Dutch girl's the only one who speaks multiple languages?
Buenas tardes.
Think again. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, will we see any arrests in anyone convicted of treason? I know you've answered this, but it seems like we never get accountability. Nothing with the fraud, the stolen elections. Have we interviewed Maduro? Or we know if he gave up any intel, so on and so on. All right, God bless you. And Chris, the guy says, okay, so I'm not going to sit here and promise you what you want to hear and what you deserve. You deserve to have a just country, a country where people who are in power, they are punished severely when they abuse that power. You deserve to have that kind of country. So do I. That is obviously not the kind of country we have at the moment. We can strive for it, but that's not the kind of country we have. There are a lot of reasons for this, but one of the reasons, and we can't be dismissive of this, is think about all the different jurisdictions, legal jurisdictions there are in the United States of America. All the different ones. State, local, federal, all the, there's all kinds of them. And it's a very complicated web that I certainly don't fully understand. Maybe you do, but it's a very complicated web. Well, how many stories have we read about this commie judge lets out a dirtball felon on purpose? Of course, he goes on to murder and rape and do all the things he does. Well, that was one judge that had that power. The communists in this country, they understood the same thing the communists understood in the Soviet Union, the same thing they understood in China, that the communists will burrow themselves into your legal system as fast as they possibly can, because they understand they are going to be committing crimes and they are going to need legal protection when they commit those crimes. It is not a small thing that communists run the law schools in the United States of America. It is not a small thing that communists are judges across the United States of America. They did that on purpose, because it gives them a get-out-of-jail-free card, not just for the gangbanger who's been robbing people his entire life, for people like James Comey, Letitia James, all the people you want to see burn, people who deserve to burn for the crimes they committed. Well, guess where they end up being tried? They end up being tried in one of these jurisdictions where the communists have burrowed their way in. And so you can have the best case in the world. Could be open and shut, black and white. Can't deny it. You're not getting a conviction. And in some of these places, let's say you had an even semi-reasonable judge. Well, Washington, D.C., I forget what the exact number is, 93%, 94%? That's the percentage of people who vote Democrat who live in Washington, D.C. They're all blue. Democrats don't vote to convict other Democrats of crimes. Democrats don't believe in throwing criminals in prison. The only people Democrats want to see in prison are Republicans. That's it. So even if you get a halfway reasonable judge, the Democrat jury's not going to convict. Why do you think all those January Sixers kept getting convicted? It wasn't just the dirtball judges. Well, you had all Democrat juries. It didn't matter that it was a big railroad job. None of that mattered. It's a Democrat jury. You give a Democrat the opportunity to imprison their political opponents, they will take that opportunity every single time. If you think I'm being crazy about that, I would really invite you to go back and read the poll numbers, what Democrats were saying during COVID, what they were saying should be done to people who didn't get the vaccine and didn't wear masks. It's just what communists do. Communists believe in imprisoning and oftentimes killing their political opponents. That is how they operate. That's how they've always operated. They operate that way wherever they take power. They always have. They always will. Your liberal Aunt Peggy would have taken your kids away, taken your house, and thrown you in a dungeon for not getting a fake vaccine that didn't work anyway, and she would have felt like she was the good guy while she did it. That probably is a good time to remind you once again that the person in your life who turned into a little tyrant during COVID-19, they're going to do that again. You know that, right? My mom, she wouldn't let us visit because we didn't get the booster shot, but she let us come for Christmas this year. That's good. That's good. I hope you had a good Christmas. Your mom's going to turn you into the feds one day. Your mom is a brain-dead commie sheep, and she's going to sell you out to the feds the first freaking chance she gets. And that's the sad truth of it. But I have great news. ZipRecruiter is still there. It's great news. Maybe you have a dirtball commie employee. Yeah, boss, you aren't wearing your mask. Well, ZipRecruiter can find you somebody decent. You don't have to live like that. ZipRecruiter helps employers find somebody decent the first day. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first day. You do not have all day, every day to be a hiring manager. That should not fall on you ever. That's ridiculous. And it doesn't have to because ZipRecruiter exists. ZipRecruiter makes it fast because they put the best candidates and most interested ones in front of you immediately. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse because that lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Also, this is what's coming if November goes
bad. As a chief enabler of this illegal war, Pete Hegseth is responsible for directing this insane military action against Iran, which has already killed thousands of civilians, led to the unnecessary deaths of American service members, and displaced over 1 million people in the region. That's why I'm introducing articles of impeachment against Hegseth for repeatedly violating his oath of office and the Constitution, including the disregard of Congress and willful targeting of civilian infrastructure in Iran.
I thought it might be a good idea to bring something up. You are obviously aware that if we lose the House and Senate, that Donald Trump is going to be impeached. I don't know that they'll have the votes to remove him from office. They might, with as many loser Republicans as we have, but I don't know that. I'm not saying that. But impeached, that's definitely coming. You get that. You understand he's not going to be the only one. The Democrat demonic base, they're going to demand results from their Democrat representatives. And the results they want, Democrats are clear about in every single poll. Democrat voters are not clamoring for lower taxes or anything like that. Democrat voters are demanding of their representatives. They're demanding their representatives punish you, punish Republicans. They want to see people thrown into prison. Here's a Democrat from Georgia.
Punishment for MAGA for voting Trump 3 times needs to be that they lose their internet access for 4 years. That they cannot post videos or comments on social media for 4 straight years so that none of us are subjected to their lies and misinformation while we are rebuilding the chaos that they caused. The whole world and America gets to be without their BS online for 4 straight years.
Don't forget who our enemies are. We still have an hour. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.